And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. It's great to be with you this week. As every week, we bring the questions that you send to us, and we give you answers. We look at God's Word, that's first and foremost, and how we give you our answers. And then sometimes, as we look at Bible prophecy, trying to determine the best of our ability from God's Word, we give you what we believe is God's timetable for the future, what's going to take place, the remaining prophecies to be fulfilled. And that's what we do on this program. It's great to be with you again. Hey, I hope that you are taking advantage of our website, the top 10 news stories every week, the content from our radio programs, the evaluation, as when we listen to these people that we're interviewing and their outlook on what's happening on the ground in these areas of the world, basically the areas of the world that pertain to Bible prophecy. Now, I know that there are lots of talk shows that are out there. There are a lot of things that happen that you can listen to, different news outlets. Everybody nowadays has a radio program or a blog or something. So there are lots of areas, but our particular ministry, our radio programs, our website, everything that we do examines current events in the light of God's prophetic word. And that's what we do. And so we will take, we will focus on issues around the world that we feel, both myself and Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, my father, our ministry, we will focus on areas of the world where we feel that it's fitting prophetically and how it will fit prophetically in the future. Not prophecy being fulfilled right now, as you know, we're seeing these events line up. We're seeing all the parts and pieces, all the props, if you will, as Dad always likes to say, being put on the stage for prophecy to be fulfilled, for that curtain to go up. And that curtain going up, that's the rapture of the church. That's the next event to happen on God's timetable, His calendar of events. And we get questions every week about the rapture, when it will take place, what do we think, what will happen in the future, and why do we say that the rapture is in the Bible and the word rapture is not in the Bible. Different, I mean, all kinds of things. And a lot of them are people that are being very sincere, wanting to know. Some people are very cynical, I'll just put it bluntly. They're very cynical and you know, they have an agenda. It's okay. You know what? We totally believe, as we have studied God's word, what we believe. But I think that we all need to have a proper understanding and to deal with each other in love. I know that there are times when we will bring it to your attention, people that we feel that are teaching heresy. Sometimes that is just teaching out of ignorance, but sometimes there's an agenda behind that teaching, and that's the ones that we want to bring to your attention throughout our radio programs, our articles on our website, and those news stories, just the different things. And I caution people, make sure. I have a lot of people that forward me stuff all the time. I get hundreds of emails a day of people forwarding me links. We appreciate those links, and I try to respond to everybody that we can, thanking you for the links. And also, but I get people that are forwarding me stuff from people that I feel that are taking advantage of Christians that have a love for Israel and Christians that are forsaking everything and falling in love with the Jewish people. And I think that we should fall in love with the Jewish people. God has a program, I believe, for the Jews. That's part of what, you know, why we focus on Israel, because God's not finished with Israel or the Jewish people. He does have a plan and his prophetic plan in the future pertaining to Israel. But, you know, we have a responsibility. We have, as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to take the message of redemption to the world. And let's not get sidetracked by just focusing in on one area and one thing. For instance, even Bible prophecy. A lot of people that are very interested in Bible prophecy, but they're more interested in the conspiracy theories and who the Antichrist is and I mean, so many different things. Is this the white horse or is this the red horse, the black horse? All those things are in the future, and we determine who and what those are by looking at Scripture. We're not sensationalizing events that are going to take place or trying to scare people. For instance, I was at a meeting this last week, sitting in on an explanation of the blood moons by a famous pastor. And I wanted to see what was said. And I agree probably with 90 to 95% of what he was saying about future events. But there are certain things I don't agree with, and I don't agree with his analysis of the blood moons. I don't think it's a sign from God. It's a natural occurrence that happens, and when you look in the Scriptures, the events that happened in Scripture were unnatural. When God wanted to make a sign, it wasn't something that could be explained away by nature. And that's what I see that a lot of people try to do that. They try. I mean, even Christians, they believing that events could take place in the Bible, there has to be a scientific explanation. Listen, God and Jesus Christ, the carpenter, they created the earth. If they created the earth, and not just the earth, but the sun, the moon, and the stars, the solar system, when you look at creation, if they have the ability to do that, they certainly could make the sun in the sky stand still for 24 hours, as it's recorded to us in the Scriptures. They could certainly make a blood moon appear that is not something that is a natural occurrence just because, it is something in the rotation of the solar system around the sun and how that all takes place and how it will come about. I think if the signs that we see that Jesus referred to in Matthew chapter 24 about the future were for people that were living during the tribulation period and the judgments, the 21 judgments that are unfolded in the book of Revelation are for a specific time period. And the world has never seen the events that are going to take place in the tribulation period, in the judgments. Especially the last seven judgments. I mean, they're unbelievable. The great tribulation. And so when you look at this, I sit and I try to listen to people that pull things from Scripture. And a lot of times it really is just done out of ignorance. If you look at what the Scripture says and take a look at it, it will help you to understand the times in which we're living and the events as they take place. And make sure that everything that is happening really coincides with the proper hermeneutics. That's the science or the studying of the interpretation of the Scripture. Who was the author writing to at the time that these specific passages were written? So I think we need to keep all of these things in perspective. Inductive Bible study. No prophecy can contradict another prophecy, and there are prophecies that are not stand alone. A prophecy in the book of Ezekiel is not going to contradict one in the book of Daniel or Zechariah or Revelation, and vice versa, all of them. And so it's just a matter of looking at Scripture and really coming to an understanding and a knowledge of what's taking place. And that's what we try to do. And believe me, if we're wrong, I know that you'll let us know that we're wrong, but we try to explain. For instance, last week, I thought my father did an excellent job on the mark of the beast. Apparently, either people thought so, and the explanation makes sense to them, because I aired in our prophecy Q&A last week his response to the mark of the beast, and we didn't get any questions about it this week. So either it made a lot of sense to people, or those people that listened to that explanation, which I really thought was very good, excellent. And as far as it makes so much sense, either people agreed with us or they have just totally turned us off. And so either way, but you send in your questions to us. If you disagree with us, that's okay. I really do like the way that a lot of people, and we have a lot that respond and love They appreciate our ministry. They don't agree with us on certain things, and they'll let us know, but they have questions, and they're looking for answers, and I really appreciate that. I appreciate you that when you take the time to put your name on an email, to put Bible verses with it, why you believe what you believe. And so anyway, thank you so much for sending in your questions to us and giving us the opportunity to follow through. Question comes in this week, and we'll start with our prophecy Q&A. This comes in our home. I'm not sure there's no, that's just a name that was given on the email. And I think it's a she or a he, I'm not sure. And she's making reference to our answer to the question, where is the United States in Bible prophecy? And if you remember, Dad always tells that story. I do, too, when I do prophecy Q&As at churches around the United States, even for that matter, around the world. One of the most asked questions is, where is the United States in Bible prophecy? We tell the story about a guy one time in one of Dad's sessions. He stands up in the back and he goes, I know where it is. And Dad says, where? And he goes, well, it's in Jerusalem. And Dad said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, Jerusalem. You know, and it always gets a laugh, and certainly they got a laugh then. But then Dad started to think about it, and that gentleman was absolutely correct. In fact, that's the answer that we always give to people now, is that the United States in Bible prophecy will only be, because it's not mentioned in the Word of God at all, except for the fact where it talks about in the book of Zechariah, all the nations of the earth will be gathered. All the nations will be gathered in the city of Jerusalem, that the Antichrist gathers them all to do battle against the Jewish people, against Jerusalem, and essentially against God. And that's at the end of the tribulation period. So if the United States is still in existence after the rapture of the church, I believe, when you take out the Christian backbone of the United States of America at the rapture of the church, that next event to take place, that left unto itself, I believe the United States could implode, could destroy itself. It's just when you look at the times in which we're living now, I see moral decay all across the United States. The United States that we live in now is not the United States that I grew up in, and most likely not the United States that you grew up in. It has changed. When we've tossed and we've done away with reading the Bible, praying to our God in heaven and the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, when you first start that in the school systems and then in the political system, it's gonna carry over into our everyday life, into our economics, to our financial system, everything. We see moral decay in the United States, and really, it's indicative of what's happening around the world when nations, when people, when countries reject the love of God and God sending His Son, when they deny that there's a God, when that there was a creator of the universe, when all of these things, when the sanctity of life is given up on. You see this, and this is what happens to nations around the world. This is a time, this is an indication that we are approaching the end time event, beginning with the rapture of the church. At some point, God is long suffering toward us all. He wants us all to have eternal life with Him through believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son. That's the way that He provided for us to have a relationship with Him, through the death of His Son and the resurrection, by believing that Christ died for our sins. And unless we do that, and that's the only thing that's really keeping all of the future prophecies from unfolding. He's still holding the gates of heaven open so that those might accept Christ as their personal Savior, accept that free gift from God. But as we're doing these things and as we're living more and more, we're not even teaching that message anymore. And I think we're getting closer and closer very well that the rapture could happen at any moment. That's how close that I feel that we are. As I sat the other night in that meeting where a gentleman was talking about the blood moons, explaining his explanation for why things didn't happen as he said that they would. And, there was that fear that with that blood moon that appeared the other night, and I was out there. I went out with my children. We went out and watched it. My family, along with a couple other families, we were out there and we watched the blood moon. It was hard to see though when the clouds came in, and we were straining hard to find that blood moon that was there. And that's interesting also. I think when God makes a sign, it's very visibly and very clear to everyone, and not just part of the world and not to those that see it. And no cloud is going to, no other part of nature is going to cover up what God is trying to accomplish in his signs. But that's another story. We'll let that one go. But I do think that we are living in a time when the rapture could happen at any moment. And I think that's what it gets back to. I'm hoping that people will look let's see what the Word of God says about certain subjects. And then how can we use that in our life? Anyway, this reference to Jerusalem and the United States, our home, says that that's clever, but it's. She says no cigar. I'm just repeating what she says. I have another thought on Bible prophecy, where and what the role will America play. The USA has been a stepping stone to the new Jerusalem set on the earth before the 1,000 year end time. As we see America's decline, it is still a Christian nation, regardless of what the United States president said and the other critics of Christianity. And she goes on to explain about the United States playing a role in bringing in the new Jerusalem. Well, there will be, and we do believe that there's going to be a theocracy in the future. And that's that time when Jesus Christ will rule and reign in the city of Jerusalem. The millennium will be a time of both political and spiritual rule. Politically, it will be a universal, that's Daniel chapter 2. Authoritatively, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4, and characterized by righteousness and justice with assurance for the poor, that's Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3 to 5, and admonition and judgment for the violators of the Messiah's rule. That's Psalm chapter 2, verses 10 and 12. The literal earthly reign of Christ will also have spiritual characteristics. First and foremost, it will be a reign of righteousness in which Christ will be the king, reigning in absolute righteousness. If you remember, that was one of the reasons that is given to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9 as to the reason for the 7-year period of time, that 70th week of Daniel, the tribulation period. It is to bring in everlasting righteousness. There will be a reign of righteousness in which Christ will be the king, Isaiah chapter 32, verse 1. It will also be a time of the fullness of the Spirit, and the holiness of God will be manifested. That's Isaiah chapter 11. And that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. That's Zechariah chapter 14, verses 20 and 21. Everything from work to worship will be holy. Sin will be punished. Psalm 72, verses 1 to 4. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 to 21. And an open, just way. The Messianic age will be characterized by a reign of peace, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 5 to 9, Isaiah 65, verse 25, Micah chapter 4, verse 3. Isaiah's prophecy reveals many other conditions, including joy, glory, justice, full knowledge, instruction and learning, the removal of the curse on the earth, and the elimination of sickness, longevity of life, prosperity and work, harmony in the animal kingdom. All these are, if you ever want to learn something about the millennial kingdom, the book of Isaiah is exceptional on the events that are going to take place in the future. So we do know that there will be a kingdom. That's what Jesus talked about. That's what he preached, the gospel of the kingdom. And when all those things would take place, he talked about a regeneration, paleogenesia, Matthew chapter 19 that we've referred to, Matthew 19:28, a regeneration of the earth. So all of these things will take place. Now, our home, and I'm sorry I referred to your name. That's the only name that I have for you. Your analysis of the United States helping that kingdom and being the facilitators, the location for this kingdom to be set up. The United States, as much as I love it and as much as I am patriotic, I believe that God has to judge the events that have taken place in the United States. It's no longer a Christian nation. With Bible prophecy, understanding that the shift of power will shift from the United States being the most powerful country in the world to the Antichrist setting up and using the revived Roman Empire, which I believe is the European Union, as the infrastructure for this revived Roman Empire. That's where the balance of power will shift to. And the Antichrist, the one world leader, setting up an economic and a religious system in the future. We see all of those things coming to fruition as you look at Bible prophecy. And we help you to understand that on our weekend program. But thank you for sending in your note. That's what I think. The last question you ask about all these things that you laid out there, what do you think? I do believe that Jesus Christ will rule and reign in the city of Jerusalem. That's a covenant that has been promised to the descendant of King David, would rule and reign in the city of Jerusalem. I believe that that is God's holy city, the city of Jerusalem, where Jesus Christ will rule and reign from that spot on the Temple Mount today, where the Dome of the Rock stands. I believe that Jesus Christ will rule and reign in a temple that he will build that will be there through that 1,000-year period of time. Anyway, thank you for sending in your question, and keep studying God's Word. Stick with the Word. See what the Word says about your theories and how that all takes place. Just don't go on, you know, and I know that I run into a lot of older people that have this thought about the United States is going to come back to its Christian heritage and all of these things, and they're more focused on that than they are about telling others that Jesus died for their sins. And that there is a future that is coming, and God has a plan for those that accept Jesus as the Messiah and for those that reject Jesus as the Savior, as the Messiah. So that's what we need to be doing. Thank you. Joan Eller sends in a question. She says, please tell me, using Bible scriptures, why Dr. DeYoung believes that the Antichrist is already alive. Well, we do know that this figure is going to come on the scene, Joan, and that from Daniel chapter 7, we learn about the little horn. Daniel chapter 11, and we understand about this personality that is still yet to come. We get descriptions of the Antichrist. There are many other passages. Revelation chapter 13 gives a description of this man, the beast, that will come on the scene. By the way, Revelation chapter 6 says that first seal that is broken after the rapture of the church, Revelation chapter 4, chapters 4 and 5, actually, rapture of the church is Revelation chapter 4. We're in the throne room of heaven, the rest of chapter 4 and 5. We get a description, and we see Jesus Christ takes that scroll of the seven, the first scroll, the seven sealed judgments, and breaks that first seal, which is Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. A man on a white horse appears, which is the Antichrist. And when you think about it, there are many other passages that Paul referred to this person of the Antichrist coming on the scene. John gives a description and gives us that word, the Antichrist, and his books, his little books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And so we see this person coming on the scene, Joan. Here's our reference and why we believe that he is alive. We believe in the imminent event of the rapture, which means it could happen at any moment. We don't know when that's going to take place. We're living our lives every single moment of the day preparing for that rapture. And really, and that's the best way to live, when the very next moment you can, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you can be expecting to stand before your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to give an account as to how you lived your life at the judgment seat of Christ. And you say, Jimmy, where do you get that? That's Revelation chapter 4 and 5, that description of what's in those chapters, of what we see there in the throne room of heaven. And we see the 24 elders. I believe that that's a representative of the body of Christ there and what they're wearing, their garments, the crowns on their head. I believe that the judgment seat of Christ takes place immediately at the rapture of the church. We're standing before Jesus Christ and living, expecting that, you know, the next moment I could be standing before my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to give an account to how I live my life. Helps me to live a pure, productive, holy life. It encourages me. It helps me and it encourages me. It's a tough struggle in the world in which we live, where Satan is constantly attacking. My point is that we are looking and waiting for the rapture of the church to happen at any moment. We don't know when it's going to be. There's also another entity that doesn't know, Joanne, when it's going to take place, and that is Satan. He's not all powerful. He's not omniscient. He's not all knowing. He does know that at any moment, he knows the scriptures. He does know that at any moment, the rapture could take place, and we feel that he has to have, in fact, he's had to have a person ready to be that person of the Antichrist. So that's where we get that, and we can make that statement that we feel that he's on the world scene today. He has to. Satan doesn't know when the rapture is going to take place. Shortly after the rapture of the church, which happens again, Revelation 4, Revelation 6, that first seal that is broken will be the man on a white horse, which is representative of the Antichrist. He's riding a white horse, carrying a bow with no arrows, wearing a crown. He's bringing a false peace to the earth, and that's what the Antichrist does for the first 3.5 years. So that's where we get it from, Joanne. I hope that helps you. Well, Joan, I hope that helps you. And the thing that we're not trying to do here is to build up fear in people's and don't be focusing on the Antichrist and that whole aspect. I mean, we do know that he will be here in the future. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, at the rapture of the church, we'll be out of here, so we won't be here. But a lot of people are looking for him right now. They're looking for personalities. We do believe that there's a person that fits the perfect prototype for the Antichrist. And we've shared that before on this program, and maybe we'll share it again sometime. But thank you for sending in your question. Tom Anderson sends in a question. He says, I enjoy listening to Dr. DeYoung's program on BBN, the Bible Broadcasting Network. And by the way, if you're traveling, you don't have access to one of our programs, we are on the Bible Broadcasting Network every Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, and you can listen to that as we work our way through the Bible, looking at Bible prophecies and the Word of God, and kind of working our way all the way through. So take a look at that. He says, we've got to be getting close to the end. I like the emphasis he's been putting on Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And of course, that being one of the first prophecies in the Bible. The book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, the first 2,000 years of human history in those first 12 chapters. And then we see the Jewish people come in through Abram, as he left Ur of the Chaldees and comes in. And then we start to see the progression from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. So you see all these things, but starts the book of beginnings, begins with that first prophecy in the Garden of Eden, and as the prophecy of an offspring of Eve would come and bring enmity and crush the head of the offspring of Satan. So anyway, thank you for putting that and sending that to us. We really appreciate those encouraging words. And keep listening to us, Brother Tom. We sure appreciate it. Our next question comes from Ellen Aho. She says, Dear Jimmy, my husband and I often listen to your radio program. And last night I heard another radio program. The program was called Coast to Coast AM. And I've heard that one. I've listened to that one myself a couple times, Ellen. Put myself to sleep sometimes when I'm just can't sleep. But now let me just tell you this. I used to listen to that, but now I listen to Night Sounds. I don't know if everyone recalls that old program, Night Sounds. Even my children, they like to go to bed with Night Sounds. That's with Bill Pierce. Bill passed away in 2009. He was on the Moody Broadcasting Network. And he did a great program, trombone player, singer, songwriter, and it does a great program. You can go on and get that app, download it. It's called Night Sounds. So that's what I listen to now to go to sleep. I might as well let that, and my girls, they love it. They go to sleep with it. And so as I travel around the world, sometimes I can't sleep. I will put Night Sounds on and listen to it. But anyway, back to the question that Ellen asked us. She says, the guest was Charles Krismer, and who was discussing his book, King of the Mountain, about the Temple Mount. He said a lot of interesting things, but I especially wondered about two things, he said. The Sanhedrin has sent letters to 70 countries asking them to help rebuild the temple. Now, just so you know, the Sanhedrin has been reformed. In fact, we are very close friends with the rabbi that was the head of the Sanhedrin, Rabbi Nachman Kahana. He's on our videos, and we've been in his home. His brother, who was assassinated, Rabbi Meir Kahana, we're very close with him. But yes, the Sanhedrin have been reformed, and I don't know about the 70 countries asking them, sending these letters to send out to 70 countries, asking them to help rebuild the temple. Now, I do know that there is a huge movement in Israel, the Temple Institute, all of our groups when we go to Israel. We have several DVDs. We've done television with them. We've been there. We have, Dad's actually done a lot of, has done some Bible study with Rabbi Chaim Richman. Rabbi Yehuda Glick, who was the Temple Institute, directed the Temple Institute. We knew him. He was, if you remember, last October, I believe, maybe, he was there was assassination attempt made on his life. Maybe it was last spring. But and we happened to be in the land. It's just I can't remember exactly when it took place. But we're very familiar with all of these people. And, yes, they would love to rebuild the temple. Remember, the temple needs to go on the third most holiest site in all of Islam, the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem, Harm al-Sharif, which is where the Dome of the Rock stands. And then there are several mosque just to the south of the Dome of the Rock. The Dome of the Rock is not a mosque. It's a commemorative building, but it does stand over the top of Mount Moriah. We believe it stands on the location of where the Holy of Holies. So, I mean, there's the Jewish people are actively trying to build the temple. And why is that? Well, they believe, as they read the Old Testament, that there needs to be a temple. There'll be another temple that's going to stand there as they study the prophet Ezekiel. They do read the prophet Isaiah, and they do understand about all the blessings that will come upon. And they do, I've talked with the head of one of the spokesmen for the Sanhedrin, and he said that, you know, we believe that there's a problem in our world today. The problem is that there's no temple. If people could come and worship in the temple, just as they did in the Old Testament, as they're looking forward to building and they see evidence that a future temple will be here, they feel that that's what will bring peace on the earth. And that's why the Jewish people believe that. Of course, there's that struggle between Satan and God, between Islam and Judaism, for that piece of real estate. God's holy mountain, as it's referred to 16 times in Scripture, that location is, we believe, the most controversial religious site in the world. It is also the most holiest site on the earth. We believe that that's where the Garden of Eden was located. That's where the future rule and reign of Jesus Christ will be located on that area. But before, now let me just, Ellen, let me just go over with you, and I know that you know this. But for those that might be listening in, the God's timetable, the rapture, of course, being the next event, then the Antichrist comes on the scene, and that's what starts that seven-year period of time. We get an indication from Daniel that at the midway point of the tribulation period, Daniel chapter 9, after the Antichrist confirms a peace agreement with Israel, he then puts an end to the sacrifices and the prayers on the Temple Mount at the midway point of the tribulation period. So sometime, I believe it's after the rapture of the church. I believe that the Jews right now are preparing to build, and there's a huge movement. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of Christians that visit Israel with their tour groups. Every one of our groups, we take them to the Temple Institute. There are a lot of Christians that go there and have helped, and every bit of money, the ticket that you buy to go into that Temple Institute, all of that goes to helping to build, to make all the garments, to do the implements, to remake the implements, to do all the research in the background and how to do all these things, how to make them, to support these men, the craftsmen that are making everything that will be needed in this next temple. Now, we do know that there will be a temple that will be standing during the tribulation period. That temple is simply for the fact that that's the temple that the Antichrist will go into and desecrate at the midway point. He allows the Jewish people to rebuild this temple, that temple that's talked about in the book of Revelation chapter 11. Daniel talked about it. Jesus Christ said in that message to his disciples on the Mount of Olives in Matthew chapter 24, when you see the abomination of desolation in the temple. So he referred to it. Paul referred to the temple that's going to be standing there. And John was told to measure this temple. So we know that temple is going to be standing, and it's for the purpose so that as we get closer to it being built, we understand how close that we are. It's kind of one of those things, one of those props that's being moved into place on the stage. We can see the closer that they get every single day to recreating. They already have the menorah. Many of you that have been to Israel, you've seen the menorah. I have pictures of it on my website. It stands overlooking the Western Wall, the Table of Showbread. They have the trumpets that have been made, all the mitzrach, which holds the blood of the sacrifice. There's so many things, all the garments. Rabbi Nachman Kahana has the first garment for the high priest. All the priestly garments are being made, not just for the high priest, but the priests that are involved in the sacrifices. We have videotaped sacrifices. So all of that is there. My point is, all of that's there so that we can determine by seeing these things how close that we're getting to the temple and how close that we're getting to the rapture of the church, because this temple needs to be standing. I don't believe that we'll started to be built until after the rapture of the church. I don't think that there are any other indications. I believe this is a part of that process. We're seeing the prophecy of everything leading up, but the actual securing of the Temple Mount, and again, that's the third most holiest site in all of Islam, the securing of the Temple Mount is still yet to come. There's a struggle. That struggle has been going on. Like I said, I believe it's where the Garden of Eden was located. That struggle's been going on all the way since Genesis chapter 3, when Satan, that old serpent himself, walked into the Garden of Eden and convinced Adam and Eve to sin and to fall. So this struggle is there, and yes, these Jews, not only just probably the Sanhedrin, I don't know anything about the letters, and I don't know anything about this man or his book. I know that we ourselves have been on the Temple Mount multiple times every year since about 1984. So we spent a lot of time working with the men there. We believe that that's where the temple will be built. We believe that's where the first and second temple stood, where the third temple will stand. That's the tribulation temple, and where Ezekiel's temple will stand in the future. So I do know that there's a huge movement amongst the religious Jews to gain control of the Temple Mount area, that That area that's about the size of about four football fields, that's the area where the Jewish people would want to put the temple up, and that's become a controversial location. So, yes, that is in the, that is happening. That's in the background. Now, your second part of your question, and I realize that you sent me. I'm just looking at the date, and I'm so far behind on my Q&A. You sent me this on July 6th. Then, you, and this was this gentleman was talking about this, and you say also that the Pope has agreed to recognize a Palestinian state, and will announce it in September during an address to Congress and then to the United Nations. Do you know anything about these? Well, we see the presence of the Pope and what was here. I do know we've covered that on our website, and we've talked about it on our weekend programs. I really, as far as what I have seen on the press reports, yes, they are. They did raise the flag. In fact, there were more journalists cameras there at the raising for the raising of the flag than there were for Mahmoud Abbas's speech in the United Nations. And I think it's just, you know, people want to see, everybody wants to be there for a part of history. I think it's inevitable that the Palestinians will have a state, but I do think that the prophecy concerning the Palestinians in the book of Ezekiel is going to come to pass. A little book of Obadiah talks about this prophecy, what's going to happen to the descendants of Esau, the Edomites, which today are the Palestinians. And there's a prophecy pertaining to the Palestinian people. So, again, you know, I think we look at this. I think we all need to just keep our eyes on what's taking place. It's Bible prophecy, the beginnings of all of these prophecies that will come to pass after the rapture of the church. And I think you just look at these things, you see this struggle, the struggle that the Palestinians are having in the city of Jerusalem, in Israel, with the Jewish people, with the Israelis, the Jewish government. They're going to have a state. They'll keep fighting. I don't think that they will have a military, but they will, you know, they will do things. They have the right, and Israel's already given them the right to vote. This is just a political ploy, but I do think it is singling out a certain group of people that we call the Palestinians, these Arabs, that there's a prophecy in the book of Ezekiel pertaining to the Palestinians, Ezekiel chapter 35, and then, of course, the book of Obadiah tells us what's going to happen to these descendants of Esau, the descendants of Mount Seir, the Edomites, the Palestinians of today. So just keep an eye on it. Don't I wouldn't get too concerned. You know, I always try to remind people, and anything, God is in control of the situation. He allows world leaders to move, to make moves, to do things, to accomplish his will. And all of these things, we have this recorded in Scripture. The final the final chapter has already been written, and we know how it's all going to play out. So, Ellen, I wouldn't be too concerned. And I think people just need to realize that. We do see it happening every day. We do see the struggle on the Temple Mount. We do see the struggle for the Palestinians and the Jew and the Israelis, the Jewish people, the Jews and the Arabs that are there, and especially in the city of Jerusalem. And, you know, it's just indicative of the times in which we live. I'm encouraged by it. We do know a lot of people that are, and this is where I would encourage anyone, if you want to be involved in praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Of course, that peace will not be until the millennial period when Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning. That's when true peace, and we can pray for that because we know when Christ, before Christ comes, is a tribulation period, and before the tribulation period is the rapture of the church, and we're praying for that rapture to take us home now. But we keep our eyes on these things, we understand, and we do pray for the Arabs, the Palestinians that are involved. There's a lot of things that happen. There's a lot of families that are scared on both sides, of, you know, both the Israeli side, the Jewish side, the Palestinian side, the Arab side. There are families, there are people, there are Christians, believers, born again, Bible believing, people that are part of the body of Christ on both sides that are caught in this conflict. So let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's what I would encourage you to do. Thanks, Ellen, for sending that in. Sorry it took me so long to get to it, but at least we see how things have played out. Well, folks, there's a lot more questions to get to, and we'll get to those next week. Keep sending them in to us, and we thank you so much. We are all aware of what's happening in our world today. I think it's without a doubt, when you understand God's word and the prophetic events that are still left to happen, we can't help but see, as our world is acting as it is today, how close that we are getting to that next event, the rapture of the church. Man, with everything that's happening, we need to keep looking up until...